Good afternoon on this Tuesday, December 6th in Burlington, Vermont. We are in the Dialed Studio at Hula Lakeside for the inaugural edition of this podcast with Beverly Kehoe entitled I Say, You Say. Today we have Joni Zweig, who is the president of Amertel, an organization, a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the lives of women and children around the world. We know today that we've got lots of holiday events, and one of our favorite and a holiday tradition for Joni and I is the International Boutique. So, Joni, what would you like to say initially about the International Boutique in Waitsfield, Vermont?
First, thank you for having me, Beverly. It's really fun to do this together. And this will be our 36th year of doing the International Boutique. We did a pandemic hiatus. So this, we're coming back again and we're pretty excited. The boutique started 38 years ago. I spend a lot of time in my capacity with Amertel traveling around to our projects in various countries. And I thought we really needed to raise funds to some of the programs. And I thought, what if I bring some things back and sell them around the holidays to the people in Vermont? And it started out where I would go back to my office and just plop some things down on a table and for a day or two, and people would come and buy them. And then we would send the funding back to whether it was a clinic or a microcredit or a school, whatever program that Amertel was working with at that time. And somehow over the years, that has evolved into an 8-day gala event with, I don't know, probably over 1,000 people that come over that period of time. Sometimes, you know, we've had people come from as far away as New York and Canada. They come specifically to the sale because they know, one, some of the things are really unique for this area. We bring them back directly from the countries we work in. And because there's no middle person, we're able to sell everything at wholesale prices.
This International Boutique is in Waitsfield in the Mad River Valley, and you've had it in several different locations over the 36 years, like you said, from your desk space at one of the first computer companies
in Vermont.
Yeah. So that's the longevity of Joni's tenure in the Mad River Valley. And it starts on Saturday, December 10th, and goes until the 17th.
And this year, we're at the Masonic Lodge, which is on Route 100, just across from the library. And you're right. When we moved out of my office and we started moving it into a larger space, I would go traveling, never knowing where the boutique was going to be, which was a little stressful because I'd come back and see what building was for rent. And then they would let us use it as a nonprofit. You know, people are supportive. And then we sort of found a permanent home with the Masonic Lodge in Waitsfield. And the Masons have been awesome. And we've been there probably, I would say, 22 years now. It's hard to believe.
Wow. And and with the Masons, it's a great synergy because the building gets used a little bit more. People have more awareness, and there's some mystery around the Masons. But it's a great old brick building right in the center of Waitsfield.
Lots of parking.
There's lots of parking. There's the covered bridge a block away and other shops and places to get treats. So it's a great place to just come in and have an afternoon. And let's talk a little bit about the items that you have at the boutique.
Right. And first, I just want to do a shout out to the Masons because they have been amazing over all these years. They put lights up for us and whatever we need to make it as comfortable as possible, they're there for us. So one of the premier items that I think people come for are our carpets. We have an amazing selection of carpets, and they're Tibetan and Kashmiri and Afghani and Pakistani. I mean, they're from all Persian, all over the world. And because they're at such incredible prices, it allows people that might not have been able to have a big carpet like this, a beautiful hand-knotted wool tufted carpet, they're able to do that. And we have an installment plan so they can buy the carpet, take it home, and pay it off over a few months or whatever works for them. So that's always a fun thing is, and we, when we buy the carpets, we'll be in New Delhi, for instance, or in Jaipur, someplace in India, or Kathmandu, right, or wherever, and Turkey. And it's really a lot of fun to buy the carpets and to choose the ones that we think that our customers are going to like.
I understand you have a little bit of a pool going about which carpet will come off the walls first. So it's a pretty big production for you to display the carpets, to have them be really shown in all of their glory. And the first day of the sale, it's quite wild to see people going after these rugs. When I bought my home a few years ago, really the first purchase I had is a beautiful rug, the Tibetan rug that is one of my prized possessions. Yeah. Many years later.
We all love that rug.
Yes. So there are rugs.
Rugs, and it's true. It takes 3 weeks to set the boutique up. We try to make it so that even if people don't choose to buy anything, they come in and it's a sensory experience. They get to feel as though they're in one of the bazaars or the markets of any of these countries, these kind of exotic countries, without the price of buying a ticket or having to deal with the chaos.
And you've actually been to almost all of those markets. So
correct.
It's a direct sale from the vendor in New Delhi or Thailand to the sale
right.
at the boutique.
And what we try to do, it's not always possible, but we do try to find family-owned businesses, fair trade businesses, women-owned businesses, because, again, the foundation of Amartel is that it's a women-based organization, that all of the work, the projects that we do are geared towards partnering with women. So we don't go in and just give things. We sit down with the women in a community. So if we're in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, for instance, we'll meet with the women and say, what is it that you think that you need to make your lives and the lives of your family more enriched and with proper food and education? And they'll tell us. And then we partner together to see what we can do to make that happen. And that's the approach that we've used, whether it's in Africa or South America or Central America or the Caribbean. It's always trying to partner and empower the women we work with. So, for instance, in most of the countries, all of the countries really that we work in, we have very few people that are outside of that country in leadership positions. We try to take from the community and provide the skill training that they need to begin to run their programs.
So one of the examples of an item that you have at the boutique, you've got the rugs, which is probably the highest price point, down to hand-knitted finger puppets. So talk about the
right,
trail of the finger
about,
puppets.
That's right. So the finger puppets, that's a great example. They come out of the barrios outside of Lima, Peru. And I remember when I first flew into Lima, because we had a school there. We still have a school there. We had a program for people with hearing challenges. And so I flew in. It was night, and there were just a tiny few lights on the hillsides. And I remember thinking, oh, that must be where the really wealthy people live. Well, in fact, it was the opposite. When we got there, the reason there were only a few lights is because there is no electricity. And we drove up into the mountainsides, and I was shocked, actually. There were no roads. There were no trails. It was just little footpaths, and everything was covered in kind of a slimy mold. And apparently, the weather patterns there, the air gets trapped in this kind of inversion things, and things are really humid and hot and damp. And it was painful to see the levels of poverty. And people that would come into Lima to try to find some way of getting income or working would come and stay in these areas. So Amartel went in and we created a wonderful center. It's a place where the children in that area, we worked with some social workers and identified the most, those families that had the most food insecurity. And we identified the children and created a food program. So we hired the mothers to run the program, to do the cooking, to maintain the inventory of food, and they had a hot meal every day. And that's how it began. And then out of that, we thought, well, the women really wanted to work and to provide income for their families. So we asked them, well, what is it that you want to do? And crocheting is a local craft that is honored in that tradition. So we provided the wool, or in this case, it was cotton and or synthetic, and we trained them how to make the finger puppets. And they would buy the yarn you know, at our price, and it would be kept on record, and then they would make their finger puppets, and we would buy the finger puppets from them, so they were able to keep their, and they wanted to be able to have it sort of have a level playing field. They didn't want to feel that we were giving them charity, which we really appreciated.
That looks like it's a full circle kind of a process.
Absolutely.
In that you went in and identified the problem. You came up with a solution that the people in the community were a part of. Then you're buying the product back from them, and that money is coming back into
exactly.
the community for the food. And I understand that initially the kitchen was a leaky
garage. Oh, it was
garage.
Scary.
It wasn't even the equivalent of a woodshed here.
Not even.
And a donor brought some money in and built a two-story building that has a full kitchen, and they have after-school programs and the
right.
lunch program. And
right.
there's also a new program that is working with some people that came from the States and are down there working in that project.
It's a program, education program, to provide critical thinking skills to the children after school up through being teenagers. One of the big challenges, of course, is that the kids drop out of school really early because they need to work to provide food. The food insecurity there is really challenging, especially since the pandemic hit. So the critical thinking gives them very specific skills to help them process the choices that they make. And again, it's an individual's choice. We provide options and opportunities, and we support them however we can in moving forward if that's what they choose. So yeah, the program now is amazing. And one of the things with the finger puppets that I especially liked was the women would come together.
Mm.
And when they would come to get the yarn, and they would learn new patterns, and then they would sit and just, you know, have such a nice time socializing while they crocheted the finger puppets. So that in some ways was as important as getting the income, which the income from the finger puppets actually went back to the women, and it still does. And they use that to buy whatever the essentials are, whether it's health care or food for their families. And it's a huge, it's a very important for these women to feel that they're contributing to their family's well-being.
So that the center there is a little bit of a community center. And
mm-hmm.
I know at some point they had dryers. They had electricity and dryers
mm-hmm.
because for half of the year, like you said, it's so wet and mold-inducing that things would not dry on the
right.
line.
And then
so,
they would get chest infections. Well, you've been there, so
yeah.
you know.
So it's that's just one example of the kinds of programs. But
right.
let's get back to the shopping.
Yeah, let's get back to the
Let's get back to the shopping. What else do you have at the boutique?
So, for instance, in Nepal, in Kathmandu, there's a number of women organizations, cooperatives, and they make the most amazing felt tree ornaments. So, for instance, this year we have sloths hanging off a tree. Which
sloths,
you know, like, yes. like we do not have sloths in Nepal or in Vermont, but we have them at the International Boutique, and they are super cute. And then we have, you know, just traveling around the world, Turkey, one of just a wonderful place. We have some beautiful ceramics and some tiles from Turkey and some shawls and scarves. And then we also partner with an organization working with women in the Himalayan region of India. And they have made beautiful shawls and scarves and blankets. And they have Angora. And at first I was like, oh, we're not so interested in Angora because it's, it's pretty rough on the animals. And so, mm-hmm. but what they have is kind of cruelty-free Angora. And they showed me pictures. So the women sit there on their rocking chairs, the older women, and they have the Angora rabbits in their lap, and they just brush them. The rabbits look completely blissed out, and the women are completely relaxed. So it's, you know, it's there's not really any pain involved there. So the quality of this wool is amazing. And the proceeds from all of these items go back to this community. And since they've started, the level of malnutrition has gone down from, I think it was 60% to about 5%.
Wow.
If you can imagine that. And now they have a school and they have a clinic, which they never had before. So the level of illness has dropped away dramatically. So that's just an example of how the boutique itself has made a difference for a lot of people.
The boutique has a unique aspect in this. We have a plethora of holiday sales,
mm-hmm.
and this is one that people look forward to. And it's such an example of some small ripple, some holiday shopping that you're doing anyway. And you're talking about changing the life of people in
thousands of miles away.
Thousands of miles away. And that connection is really what I think draws so many people to the boutique. And of course, the scarves.
Oh, God, the scarves.
The scarves.
The scarves seem to have babies overnight. Yes. I'll come in one day, I'm like, how is it that we have another 100 scarves? Where did they come from?
But the scarves go. People love the scarves.
Oh, and they're amazing. They are silk and rayon and linen and cotton and wool. And the thing is about the boutique, it's like a love fest, I have to say. People come that, you know, they see each other once a year. And, you know, the vibration there is so chill and just like, oh, happiness, I guess. Because people feel good about what they're doing. They feel kind of overwhelmed and really just excited about the vibration of being in this international environment. And you have all the smells and the colors and the sounds from all of these markets. And then seeing people they haven't seen in a year and catching up and the prices, of course, which are amazing. But, you know, I like to say that there really isn't a better way to shop for the holidays and feel so good about it. Because, you know, you can feel like everything that you do there is making a difference for somebody somewhere else that's feeling some hardship.
And that can be conveyed to the recipient of the gifts, even though some of the things that I buy are gifts for me. but it actually provides an educational component that people can actually understand some of the struggles that people go through around the world. And we're so grateful I think what happens at the boutique is that people come in and they realize how grateful they can be for the life that they have, and it engenders more generosity on their part.
Yeah, exactly.
So the prices are so fair. They're under wholesale for a lot of the things, but it also highlights some of the discrepancies in our world of buying some finger puppets that are a couple of dollars makes a huge difference to the people in Lima, Peru.
Correct. And this year, so first about the prices, so we had somebody come in who was helping set up, and he said, you know, you could charge a whole lot more for this, I think it was a carpet, and for this. And I said, yeah, we could, but that's not how we do this. It's not about charging a lot. I learned early on that the process is as important as the end goal. So the process of providing priced things that people can afford and sort of celebrate is as important to me as it is to make a profit that we can send back to the projects. But this year we have sort of an unusual situation. Being taking this two-year hiatus, I realized how many things we've had over 36 years, and like rooms and rooms and rooms of clothing and scarves and jewelry and, I mean, beautiful silver jewelry. And like, let's get everything and just put it out there and sell it. And so a lot of the things we're selling this year are below what we paid for them because we need to clean out all of our warehouse so we can start fresh. So there's a lot of new things, but there's also some incredible deals.
There are such treasures. And like you say, it's like going to a bazaar in another country, and there are little pockets in this Masonic lodge gets transformed into something pretty wild.
Right.
And there are so many different things, and children can come and they can buy gifts for their friends or for their family members. And so there's things that they can afford
We try to make sure that there's something. So if a little one, we've had children come in with, you know, they'll pull out of their pocket their coins and we'll help them count. And we'll say, all right, you can get this or you can get that. And they get so excited, you know, because they can get something really cool for their mom or their teacher or their siblings.
So one of the items that I also love are the Haitian art. Mm. Can you talk a little about the Haitian art and what is happening in Haiti and what this project supports?
Excuse me. So in Haiti, we have some amazing programs there. Our largest project has always been in Port-au-Prince. We have a children's home with, I would say, 36 kids. We don't call it an orphanage because we feel these children have created a family amongst themselves. And, you know, the biggest thing is we give them love and food and lots of snuggles. And music, we have a huge music program because it's been shown to really help these, most of these children come to us with significant malnourished, whether they was in utero or their first year or however old they are, and some trauma and abuse. So the music has really made a difference for them in being able to excel in school and in their social life. So we have the children's home. Then we have a school for children in very impoverished communities. We have, I think there's probably 400 or 500 children in the school. And then we work with microcredit. We have a program for teenage girls who are at risk, giving them education and whether it's health or looking at options, after school programs. Anyway, we have a lot of programs. And so what we started when we first had this program is before I would leave Haiti, we would go to Croix de Bouquet, where the actual artisans who make the Haitian art live and work. And they would take the oil drums that the fuel comes in and makes some amazing art. And it was a good lesson, Bev, because it reminded me that no matter where people are, what their circumstances are, they find a way to make beauty. And it's pretty amazing.
I don't know if we have any in the sale this year, but there were some bags that were made out of trash bags that people took bags.
Right. We sold out of those. But the other program we have in Haiti that's large is in the southeast corner right on the border with the DR in Anspeet. And there we have over 1,000 women in our self-help program and microcredit and 1,000 teenage girls. And our school there has close to 800 children and on. So it was important to be able to find a way to subsidize this program. Because although we give the women the microcredit and they have a 98% return rate, which is unbelievable.
That's an incredible investment.
Yeah. But we would pay the salaries of the Haitian women and we would train them and they would work with the women in the microcredit groups, learning business skills and how to do investment and what kind of ways to use their money. So it's a huge program that is probably one that I'm the most passionate about and out of all of Amritel's, because I've seen the transformation in these communities. So we would go to Croix de Bouquet and we would buy up as much metal art as I could possibly convince the airlines to let me carry home. This time, Haiti is, I haven't been able to go for quite a few years now. We can't even leave the air. If we flew into Port-au-Prince, there's no way to get out of the airport safely. And, does it make sense to put any of our people at risk? We've had the level of violence right now it just terrifies me. When I call probably once or twice a week Port-au-Prince to make sure, one, that they're still alive, and two, that they have food. And so far, number one has always been a yes. Number two is not always the case. And one of the hardest things for our director is people are used to coming to our center, which is in a very impoverished community. We try to work within the communities. We try to live within the communities we work. And people knew that if they really got into a difficult position, they could come and ask. We could give them, a small bag of rice or corn or some medicines. And we can't do that now because we don't really even have enough food for the 36 kids. So it's such a tough time. And we have metal art and it's all out there. But I haven't been able to go back. So I don't, and unfortunately, one of the largest and most violent of the gangs is in Croix de Bouquet. And, my heart just aches when I think about those artisans they had this amazing art community there. Really funky artists living there. like wild.
Like Vermont would love them.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I just wonder, how are they managing? Because I can't imagine they can keep their studios open, and where are they going to sell their art? And, it makes it very real and personal for us. We know these people.
Right.
And, just trying to hope that they can get through this period of time.
Today we're speaking with Joni Swig, who is the president of Amritel, which is a women and children relief organization. And we're discussing the International Boutique, which happens this next week, December 10th through the 17th, open every day. And you can get an incredible array of holiday gifts while supporting projects around the world. So what is your favorite item in the boutique?
Oh my gosh, how could you even ask me that? You know what? Every day I go, there's a different favorite project. I think my favorite thing is the boutique itself, is the energy, the people that do the setup, the people that run it. They're all volunteers from the community. The people that come that I get to see just once or twice a year. And then when I send the funds to the projects and they get so excited, that's my favorite part. And, you know, we have two websites. People could go to Amurtel, that's AMURTEL.org, to learn more about our organization. And we also have internationalboutique.org, which shows some pictures of some of the projects, and I mean the products, and it has the details. And the boutique is going to be held at the Masonic Lodge in Waitsfield. It's right in the downtown, the inner city of Waitsfield, Route 100 in Waitsfield. It's on the main road, and it's right next to the parking lot, so there's lots of parking. It's across the street from Bridge Street. You know, people can go to the boutique, and then they can go to the craft stores. There's lots of fun places to eat. It's a really great town, so that you could make a whole day of it.
So it's a great location for people during the holidays, and of course the ski areas are there. We're a little bit in advance of
slim
the skiing.
On snow.
Slim on snow, but big on a lot of holiday warmth, and I think you're right that the community just loves this event and really really look forward to it. And I don't know how many times somebody will comment on a scarf that I'm wearing, like I'm wearing today.
Right now.
And I love being able to say, oh, I got it at the International Boutique.
Right.
So the International Boutique happens Saturday, December 10th, through Saturday, December 17th, in the Waitsfield Village in the center of town.
Let me just give the times because they're a bit on you. This Saturday it opens at 10 and it runs till 8. And then all next week it'll be, from the following week, will be 12 noon until 6. And then the last day, the 17th, is 10 until 4.
And what happens at 4 o'clock is this. It takes 3 weeks to set up the sale. Then the Masons need the room for their holiday meal on the next Sunday.
That next day.
So we break down in about 4 hours.
Right.
And that is pretty wild. But I'm hoping this year, because you have everything out, you've got very low prices on things, that there will be very little to
pack up
for the following year. So we invite you to come and join us. Joni, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, because I know you spend time every day concerned about projects around the world. And this week is particularly busy to get ready for the International Boutique.
Thank you, Beth. And I hope to see everybody there.
Thank you. This is the inaugural session of I Say, You Say with Beverly Kehoe at the Dialed Studio at Hula. Thank you.